also celebration, and Jesus says, but this is really not only just consumption of our baby bodies going to heaven, but it's to give us a hope of to be where Mary is in body and soul. So everything that's died so far is a spirit in heaven. That's not our life. Our life is to have a body and soul. So where Mary has gone, we hope to follow. And so Jesus has told us that in the truths of that are found in the book of heaven, that this is our feast day. And it says very clearly, blessed is she who trusted and believed that the things promised her that the Lord shall be accomplished. Now that's the same thing for us with the book of heaven. What Jesus is telling us through all eternity. God is going to bring about things in our lifetime that the saints only long for. A lot of the saints want to live at this point because of what's coming. What's coming is so beautiful, it's so holy, it's so perfect, it's so full of love that our lives will never be the same. And what this is straight into the divine will. So Jesus says, giving a clue, he says that the greatest gift that he gave to the Old Testament was transfiguration. So Jesus said to the apostles, before some of you God will see the glory of God. And a week later, Peter, James, and John, his best friends. It's always Peter, James, and John. He takes his closest friends and he brings them to them. And that's what he's done here with the divine will. He's taking his best friends, and he says, I want you to know more about this gift. So one of the things that we need to be sure of is the great love that God has for us. Everything that we've gone through in our life has prepared us for this great gift of the divine will. So the greatest thing that he gave to the Old Testament, because Moses and Elijah were there, was the transfiguration, where Jesus radiated the divine sun. Brighter than the sun was his glow. So the inside stayed the same, but the outside changed, it was transformed. Then he says, the greatest thing that I've given to the New Testament is transubstantiation for all the Eucharist. When the priest says, this is my body, this is my blood, that which looks like bread and tastes like bread, that what looks like wine and tastes like wine, is in reality the body of the soul and divinity worthy to be worshipped, because that is God Almighty. So the outside stays the same, but the inside is the Bible and soul of divinity. It's God Almighty, only holy, Lord God is at home. And then he says to Lisa, I've saved everything for you. Now I'm going to bring about transmutation. That's what he wants to do with us. Inside and outside is going to be changed into a completely different being, a completely different creature, one that's never been seen before. Okay, so what our God is going to bring about is this is so spectacular that every Jew, every Buddhist, every Muslim, every Hindu, every Protestant is going to say, I want to become a Catholic. See, because the universal life that Adam had was lost. Now this universal life is coming back, this Catholic life is coming back. So Adam knew all the dogma and doctrine of faith. He knew what all the saints now know. They had to live in a very struggle. But God is going to give this to us in such a powerful way that the world will never be the same. So that preternatural life that Adam had before the fall, he's going to give to us. Now no one possesses it at this point. The first one who will possess it will be the promise. Now, that's what Jesus tells me. Jesus tells us. So you need a man and a woman. Adam, Jesus, Mary, Louisa, and the womb. You know, some said this is Father Nimlay. But Father Nimlay never read 2036. He never read how to receive the divine word to the Father. See, that's our challenge. We're called not only to be a divine mirror of Jesus, 1 Peter 10, not only to live the divine will, Ephesians 5:19, but to receive the divine inheritance of the Father that Adam lost. And who is the one that's going to do it? It's the one who has the keys to the kingdom. That's the Holy Father. Once the Holy Father says, read the Son, once the Holy Father says, read the writings of the Son, it's going to happen. Now, in 1900, that happened when five people went to Pius X, Pope Pius X read the Fathers of Passion, and Pope Pius X and Pius X said, we will get on our knees because Jesus is speaking to us. So he knew, by being the vicar of Christ on earth, that this was Jesus. And a lot of people have told me around Giovanni Rotondo that the book that St. Pius X was reading was the Hours of Passion when he received the stigmata. And for 50 years he had that stigmata. And it was to prepare the world for the divine will. Now he died in what? Maybe 68. So the search is for us to be very, very, very close to what God is going to do. Now what God is asking of us is to read this, to study this, to put this into practice. Okay? As we read, study, put this into practice, our whole life changes. We really begin to live out on earth. Sin flees from us. Why? If we're saying, Jesus, come breathe in my heart, in my heart beating, it's Jesus. And the devil does not want to be around Jesus. So we're letting God use our bodies. He said to Lisa, you are my skin. I am fully and completely in you. Now, this is why the brother Luis is so powerful, because God is going to be doing something that is going to astound you. As you get closer to Luisa, the things that you think, even just think about, God is going to do. I mean, it's just really astonishing. I'll be sitting there, and I'll look at my watch, and I'll say, somebody's going to call, and the phone will ring. I mean, that's constant. It's constant. Or I'll say Mass, and as soon as I get done with Mass, the phone will ring. You know, what the Lord has is He wants to show us how much He loves us. You're driving along, you're forgetting about everything, and you're running out of gas. You know, and then you say, oh, that's a current gas. The current gas again is completely empty. And God is always leading us, guiding us, correcting us. And that's what He says. Blessed is she who trusted, who believed the things promised her by the Lord shall be accomplished. See, what happened to Mary is going to happen to us. God wants to be conceived in us. He wants us to, when He wants us to let Him gaze in our gazing, speak in our speaking, hear in our hearing, dance in our dancing, swim in our swimming, He wants to be Lord of our life. Every aspect. It's not going to be a God 1,000 million miles away. It's going to be a God who is one with you, fused with us, walking with us. It's going to be, you know how Saint Gertrude, he said, it's just warning us, because she was warning about which is better, a Holy Communion or a spiritual communion. And he says, well, the whole Ciborium is the communion that you receive and how it pleases you. The silver supporting is the spiritual beings to make it out. How much it pleases you. Well, now we're going to be in communion with God as intimately as we are when we receive Jesus' Blessed Sacrament. Because when we receive Jesus' Blessed Sacrament, we receive it in a mystical way, a real way, but mystically. And after 15 minutes with the host of salves, that real presence of Jesus is not there. But that's why Holy Communion, that's why it's so important to pray, whatever you need, whatever you want, whatever you're longing for, is that this is the time to focus on Jesus. And it be in communion with Jesus. But you see, what's going to come through this great gift of the divine will is God is going to reign in us. That's why this next line is so important. My soul magnifies the Lord. Our lady's prayer becomes our prayer. My soul magnifies God. How can we magnify God? It's because we're letting Him reign in us. We're letting Him conceive in us. It's that next one. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. There is no more worry, no more fear, no more anxiety, no more complaints, no more negativity, no more sin. Because Jesus says, if that's in you, you're not in the divine will. So we want this gift to be reigning in us. We want this gift to be reigning. And he says, because he has regarded my loneliness. We're nothing. I have nothing. I am nothing. Any talent that I have is an angelic talent that God has given me. It's to go with the angels. If I can draw, it's because I have an angel of drawing. If I can dance, it's because I have an angel of dancing. Anything that you can do, see, God is so in love with us that when he gives us a gift, it is living. It's alive. So the more closer you get to your angels, the more you can do amazing things. I remember when I painted a painting at Rockport. It was a 10-foot wall, and the first, I said, "Holy angels, help me!" And I painted it, and I stepped in, and I said, "Magnificent! This is magnificent! I am so grateful. Look what I'm doing." So then I painted the next guy, next third. Step back, and I thought, "This is the worst thing in the world," and because I didn't call on the angels, and then I said, "Holy angels, help me!" So then I did the bottom part, and it was beautiful. So when you look at the painting, it was wow, ooh, wow. Because let's see, it's horrible. But when we're calling that angel, we're calling that God, we're really beginning to work. That God is alive in us. And so when you, if you're adopted, God is going to give you the ability with Holy Ghost to touch a person and to bless a person and to heal a person. If you're a father or a mother, save your children. I bless you. I anoint you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit of God. It's the power that you have over your children. Now, you can't do that to love people, but what you're in charge of, God's going to do it. If you're a musician, Lord Jesus, sing in my singing. Give all glory and honor to you, Lord, and watch how people's hearts will change. See, God is going to use us in a way that just like what I did, he is regarded my loneliness, and henceforth all generations will call me blessed. So, the blessed basically, God is going to bring us to heaven. We want to be saints, that's by 1 through 9 and 10, how to become saint. By 11 through 19, how to live in the divine world through the power of the Holy Spirit that's going to overheat out of the whole world, set the whole world on fire. And then finally, to share in the divinity of God, to receive the divine inheritance of God. Nobody has it yet. So as our being was hoping in God, trusting in God, believing in God, confident in God, we do the same thing. And we watch God be conceived in us. Not in the womb, like in air, but conceived in us. You're worried about your children? You give them to Jesus. You give them to Mary. Our Lord and our Lady, I'm transferring them to you. I'm going to live in the divine world. God says, good. You do what I want. And you don't have to worry about it. Even if tragedy occurs, you don't have to worry. The devil's going to try to tear you down. I hear people say to me, well, I'm a worrier, and I have to worry. I'm a complainer, and I thought that was one of my guests, is to complain. Yeah. I'm so good at this. I'm really proud. But I'm not asking to complain. And that's a human weakness that we have to avoid. We have to get rid of. It's to praise God, to love God, to glorify God, to worship God in everything that we think, say, and do. See, the whole world's going to be set on fire without this outpouring of the Holy Spirit, which is going to come from the divine will. See, the Pentecostals, the Charismatics, aren't even aware of the Lisa. Once they become aware of the Lisa, they're going to say, what I thought I was supposed to get is nothing compared to what God is going to give me. And again, once the Pope says the priest is better, the whole world, the devil's going to be very good. Because Jesus said to Lisa, you're going to put the final foot on the head of this. My mother crushes his head, and you as a little girl do the same thing. Hit him again one more time, and it's okay. So to make that clear, he made Italy look like a fool and put the crowd right in the keel. God has fun. So you never can understand why you believe about a fool, but there's a crowd right in the keel. because she was going to have a final foot on Lucifer. So Lucifer isn't going to have any problem with us. He's going to run away from us. He doesn't want you to get near us. So again, you have trouble with your family and friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, your parishioners. Well, it's because God is asking you to lift the divine will, to bring them, the divine will in the midst of them, into the kingdom. So this is for us. So again, it says this. Because he who is mighty has done great things for you. Holy is his name. His mercy from generation to generation of those who fear him, who fear to sin. I do not want to offend God ever again. Okay, how are you offending God? With worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, and anxiety. That's sin. We're not to fear God. We're not to offend God anymore. So we're afraid to do these things. So when you start complaining, it's stop. I can't tell you to stop. The devil doesn't want you to complain. The angels want to slap you across the face. But the thing is, we have to discipline ourselves. No more worry, no more fear, no more anxiety, no more complaints, no more negativity. What comes from our mouths is what's positive. It has to be positive. And when we do this, it makes our Lord very, very happy. So now we'll review the consecration of the creation.